Amen. Good evening. You would grab your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 3. Not an unfamiliar spot probably to anybody. Proverbs chapter 3. I believe I'm only preaching once this week up at camp, and that'll be Tuesday morning, so I'd appreciate the prayers on that if you would. Brother Samson didn't say anything about another day, so usually I just preach once somewhere in the week, and he told me it's Tuesday, so Tuesday morning, so prayer will be a blessing and a help there. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 1, we'll read 12 verses here, first 12 verses, Proverbs chapter 3, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father the son in whom he delighteth." I find here, and as you look down that chapter and you look through those first 12 verses there, I find that most of the even verses, verse 2, verse 4, 6, 8, in fact, 10, and even 12, or skip 6, I'm sorry, 2, 4, 8, 10, and 12, we really like. We really want those, right? We want verse 2. We want length of days and long life and peace, right? That's what we want. Verse 4, we want to find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 8, we want health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Verse 10, we want our barns to be filled with plenty and thy presses to burst out with new wine. We even want the Lord to delight in us in verse number 12. These are what we want. These are the things that we want. The trouble is we don't want to do what we should to get what we want. You ever notice part of this passage was actually the theme, the main verses for Vacation Bible School, and I kind of, they kept rolling around in my brain this week just with Vacation Bible School and everything, and I didn't preach on these verses during the week. I was on the theme, and I just kind of, I didn't even really preach. I was just kind of introducing topics and trying to give a quick overview to help the teachers with their class times and different things, but I didn't really talk about this passage right here. And I got looking at this passage over and over again, and you find we want the blessings of God. Really, that's what we're talking about, right? Verse 2, verse 4, verse 8, verse 10, verse 12. Those are the blessings of God given to us. We want the blessings, but we do not always do what we're supposed to do, and we still think we're entitled to the blessings. Right? That's the trouble. The trouble is we live in a world where we go, "I deserve," and God's like, "Wait a minute, you didn't fulfill the portion that you were supposed to fulfill for me to be able to give you that." I was talking to the kids next door, and I said, you know, when you disobey your parents, should they reward you with ice cream? And they all knew the answer was no. Like, they had no problem figuring out that answer is supposed to be no. Right? Even a child knows if you're disobedient and you're unruly and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you don't get rewarded for misbehaving, right? But the Christian in their life, we think sometimes we ought to just be rewarded just because we are the child of God. Now, there are benefits that go along with being a child of God. There undoubtedly, you and I have benefits the world will never have if they don't trust Christ as their Savior. And I don't even mean just the thought of eternal life. You have somebody who will never leave you nor forsake you. You have somebody who's always going to be there. You have somebody who will go ahead and fix some troubles in your life and help you to be the man and the woman God wants you to be. He's there to help you. He's there to give you wisdom. He's there to give you life. He's there. We just don't always do it His way. And so we get ourselves in trouble and we don't get the blessings that we really want to have because we don't really do the portion that's supposed to be our portion. I preached last week about not being neutral and not staying neutral. This is part of that same idea, that idea of, well, do I just get the blessings just because? Do I just get all the good things just because, or do I have to fulfill some things so that I can put myself in a position to gain some of those things? And we look at our lives and sometimes we go, well, I don't understand why God's not letting me have this, or I don't understand why I don't have that, and I don't understand. And now, don't get me wrong, all right? It rains on the just and the unjust. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. All sickness and all diseases and all troubles and all trials don't come because you're wicked and you're vile and you're a sinner and you're terrible and horrible and God's judging you. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if you want to be in the best position to get the most blessings from God, I think we may need to do some things to put ourselves in a better position to get them. I think that makes pretty good sense, and I think that makes good Bible sense. Right? Why does God want to, God doesn't want to reward a wicked person. God doesn't want to reward a disobedient child. God doesn't want to do any of those things, but He does want to bless us. We just sang about Him. He's a wonderful Savior. He's wonderful to us. He's always wanting to take care of us. He's always wanting to bless us. He wants to give us the best. Yep. And so we need to just get ourselves in the right position and in the right mindset to gain those blessings and make it easy for God to give them to us. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if God was just like, boy, that made it awful easy on me to give you all the extras. I think that'd be pretty good for us. And so we'll have a word of prayer. We're just kind of look down the chapter. I'm not going to try and be long tonight. I really not. I'm just going to kind of walk down the passage. Let's see what He says. It's a pretty plain text. So let's do that. Father, I thank You for the night. I thank You, Lord, You do want to bless us and You do want to meet our needs. But Father, I pray You would help us to, Father, in this life to gain those physical blessings. The idea of all of these pieces, we do have to get some things in the right order so we can gain the blessings that You want to give us. Lord, I just pray You would help us tonight as we look over these things and maybe just kind of look as an internal check on ourselves. Are we doing all the things we're supposed to be doing in the way we're supposed to be doing them so that You can give us all the blessings You possibly would want to give us? Father, once again, I pray You would be with our teens and adults, Lord, that are on their way up to West Chazy. Father, if they have not made it, I'm thinking they probably did already, but Father, if they haven't, I pray You would protect them the rest of the way. I pray that You would just give them a great week there. Father, that You'd speak to hearts and we'd see souls saved this week. Father, if there's anybody lost in our group, I pray they'd get saved. I pray if there's anybody just coming, Lord, that needs a Savior, I pray they'd call upon Him this week. And Lord, we have great reports, Father, just like we did from VBS. I pray we'd have some great reports of You doing some wonderful things there. But Father, once again, we do pray You'd meet with us tonight and help us. Father, maybe see some things out of the Bible we could do just a little bit better or a little bit different so that we can maximize the potential of blessings in our lives from You. Lord, I pray You'd help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing we see in verse number one starts us off, right? My son, forget not My law, but let thine heart keep My commandments. We start off really quickly with, don't forget what God tells you to do. He's kind of setting it up, right? He's going to set up the rest of the chapter. God has some commands. Pastor Legault preached, was that 6-7 messages on the will of God? Just it's the apparent will of every Christian to do these things and not do these things, right? So if you've been here on Wednesday nights, you were getting those, one right after the other. It was a great setup. And he just talked about what God expects of us. There are certain things that God just expects of us. He has commands in there. I mean, the simplest of those for a Christian is a new commandment I give unto you that you love one another. That'd be pretty good. If we could get that one down pat, we'd be pretty well set. Right, that idea of loving the Lord and loving the brethren and loving people and taking care of things and helping and doing and being kind and charitable and all the things we know we ought to do. If we start following some commandments and the things that we should and shouldn't do, it makes it easy for God to start blessing us. We find length of days and long life if we'd follow what God told us to do. That's what He says in verse number two, right? We want length of days. We want long life. We want peace in our lives. You know what we'll have to do? We'll have to figure out what God commands us to do. If you're disobedient, what are you going to get? Well, you disobey the command. He can't give you peace. He's now got to bring chastisement. We'll get to that at the end of the chapter, right? Or at the end of the passage. He's got to bring chastening because God judges sin. He has to. He has to go ahead and do that, so he can't just acquit you and not have any repercussions. You heard Brother Spurgeon preaching on sowing and reaping a couple weeks ago. That concept is still real. We still have to deal with the idea of the consequences of our choices, right? We understand if you want long days, if you want length of days and long life and peace, well then you better have his commandments in mind. You better have the law in mind. You better have, what has God commanded me to do, and what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to put into my life, and what am I supposed to take out of my life? How am I supposed to live? How am I supposed to conduct myself as a Christian, as a person in this life? How am I supposed to live? I have a message. I scared those guys up in the North Country a few years ago. I got up and I said, hey, I'm going to preach on standards. Everybody gets nervous as soon as you say that word, just standards. And they're like, oh, everybody gets uptight. You know, you're going to preach on hair, and you're going to preach on skirts and smoking and drinking and all that. No. God has a set standard. You say, what is it? It's in that book right there. You're holding it. He's got a standard. His standard of righteousness is Jesus Christ. His standard of law and order is in the Bible. He has a set standard for what he wants. But, you know, you realize that some people can do things that you and I can't do. There's some things I can probably do that the Lord told you not to do. There's some things that I would never do and you do, and it's not a big deal. There are some areas in our lives where we may have had some failings and we'd had some faults and we'd had some problems, so we have a defense there that maybe somebody else wouldn't have that same problem, so they don't have that defense there. They don't have that extra line of defense, so the line doesn't seem the same to them. Alcohol is not the same to me as it is to some of you. Smoking is not the same for me as it is for some of you. Those kind of things, right? There's different lines. Not that I would smoke or not that I would drink. The idea is some of you should never step foot in a bar for your work. Even if you're working a job, you shouldn't walk in there because the temptation's too big. You had a problem with that. So if you get around that, or you get around those people, you get around those things, you get around somebody who's smoking a lot, you get around somebody who's doing this or doing that, your answer is, boy, I might get pulled into that. I don't have that temptation very easily. I've never had it. I never wanted it. I never desired it. It's not something in my background. But there's other things in my background that maybe not be in yours. I'll tell you what, I get around the wrong music. I like music. I love music. But you start shifting that beat a little bit and you start messing around, you know what I find? I find my flesh really likes certain things. And if I start getting a little close to that line, you know what I do? I go, nope, I got to back up. You say, well, I don't have that problem. Okay, maybe you don't have that problem. That's fine. But I know where my line needs to be. Because if my lines, if I get a little too close to that line, I might fall over that line. Yep. Right? You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm saying the Lord's got some commands for me that he may not have for you. But whatever the Lord is telling his son, his child, you better do it. Amen. You better do it. You say, why? Because if you don't, you might not get length of days and long life and peace. Put yourself in a better position to have length of days and long life and peace if you're doing things by God's command as opposed to your thoughts and your will and your desires. He says in verse number 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Holding on to mercy and truth. Oftentimes, you and I are really good on one side or the other, and we don't have a really good balance between the two. It's learning the balance. We've heard this a lot. Pastor Legault's talked a lot about it. You see it all through the Scriptures, that mercy and truth always seem to go hand in hand. Mercy and truth are always right there next to each other. They're always almost bound together themselves and trying to figure out what to do. The great example is the idea of that scale and how much mercy do I have and how much truth do I give? You've heard Pastor Legault say it. I'm going to steal it because it's true. And you give all mercy and you enable somebody to continue. You give all truth and there's no hope for them to get fixed. That's the truth. That's true. If I told somebody that they're a sinner on their way to hell and they're going to die and they're going to burn forever and ever, is that true? Well, yeah, that's true. If I don't tell them about Jesus Christ, I gave them no mercy. Right? The mercy is, but there's a God in heaven who will forgive you of all of your sins if you would trust in Jesus Christ, and he'll wash you of all of your sins, and he's able to save you if you want him. The mercy of God is there. You see, the balance is the question, right? We understand when you're witnessing to somebody, the idea of on some have compassion making the difference. Others save with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Say, what is that? That shows you the scale moved. Compassion is, I'm going to give you a lot of mercy. Hey, you're a sinner. You need a Savior. The Lord died for you. And you're going to talk more about the fact that God's merciful and loving and caring and He loves them. And it's going to be more for God so loved the world than the Romans road. And then you're going to get the guy who is obstinate and he's terrible and he doesn't care and he throws that stuff back in your face and you've witnessed to him and they've rejected and rejected and rejected and there is no God and hail Satan and all that stuff. We get that stuff on the street. You get that guy and you know what you answer with? The fool has said in his heart there is no God. Death and hell are cast into a lake of fire and the beast and the false prophet and the devil, they're all going to get thrown in a lake of fire and you're going to go join them. Say, what is that? That is the removal of the mercy side. Because they're not going to listen, so now I'm just going to pound you down with the truth until you find out there is a God. And that He, right? There's the scale. It just moved way to the opposite side. We learn how to deal with people. You start mercifully. Your children get mercy. When they're 2, 3, 4, 5, they get a whole lot of mercy. When they're 15, 16, 17, the mercy ought to be drying up. Why? Because a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. If you are unwilling to discipline your child and you're unwilling to correct them, like the Lord talks about at the end of the passage, if you're unwilling to correct them, you know what you'll have? You'll have unruly children who feel there is no consequences for the actions that they have. That's what you've got now in this world. No consequences. No, just what? So you say, what do you got? Well, you better hold on to mercy and truth. Figure out how to use both of those. The truth of the Bible and the truth of the Word of God, but God is also very merciful to us, and He's gracious, and He's long-suffering. Say, what will that do? That'll give you favor. Notice what those two things do for you. Verse 4, thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. If you know when to be merciful and how much mercy to give versus how much truth to give, that'll give you favor with both God and man. Amen. That's a pretty good deal. You know, we have good understanding. People understand. When you understand how to apply both of those things, you know what you'll get? You'll get people who look at you and want your judgment. They'll say, hey, you've got some wisdom there. You've got some good understanding. You know what? I want to come to you. How do I handle this? How do I work on this? How did you deal with this? What would you do? So why would they do that? Because you've got good understanding of mercy and truth. If you have poor understanding of those two things, they look at you and they go, well, they're enabling everybody around them because they're too merciful. And they're constantly taking the hit and they're not being truthful. But if you're hard and you're mean and you're terribly rough on everybody, you know what they'll go? They'll go, I can't come to them. They're unapproachable. And I'm not going to deal with them. You won't have favor in the sight of man or in the sight of God. So if you want that, so what do you got to do? Well, you got to figure out mercy and truth. How much mercy and how much truth? As we look to all of those pieces. You say, well, I don't know how much. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. Lord, how much wisdom, how much mercy, how much truth? I need it. I need to know. By the way, God is merciful and He's gracious, right? If you lean slightly on the mercy side and find out you got to add a little bit more truth to balance it out, it's better than being too hard and cutting people off before they deserve it yet. I think the Lord will be pretty good for you for being a little more merciful than being a little hard. Amen. Anyways, verse number 5. I told you, we're just walking down the passage. I'm not trying to be long. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Those three verses there end with verse number 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You want that good health, you want all those things, well, you better start off with trusting the Lord. Faith in him. Even when we don't understand, we got to trust him. You got the command at the beginning, right? Well, I don't understand why he's telling me to do that. Just trust him. Believe him. Believe that he's right. Believe the command is right, whether you understand the command or you don't. Whether you can see the end of the outcome or whether you can't, just go ahead and do it his way. Say, why? Because you can trust him. He never leads us in the wrong path. He never does anything amiss. I mean, even Pilate, when he stands there, this man hath done nothing amiss. That's his answer. This guy has never missed on anything. Even Pilate figured out Jesus couldn't miss. Why can't we figure out he never misses? He never misses when he leads us. He never misses when he tells us. He gives the command. We do what he says. And you know what? We always come out even when we don't understand. We must have confidence. We must have faith in the Word of God. We must have faith that God can guide and direct and lead and do exactly what he says he's going to do. You want the health. You want all the strength. You want all those pieces. Well, okay, then do it his way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Verse 6, acknowledge him. I talk about this an awful lot, and I know I do, but I struggle with it myself, so that's probably why I bring it up so much. We're so often on autopilot, we don't acknowledge him. We don't even tip a cap over to God and say, hey, God, what would you like? Can I help you? We just breeze on and do what we know. We just go on and we don't acknowledge him and figure out if, hey, am I actually right here? Am I actually doing the right thing? I mean, I know that all these things are supposed to happen, but sometimes things that make really good sense in our own carnal mind, that's not the thing he wants. Right? How many times we look around and we go, boy, that doesn't make any sense right there. And the Lord says, I know, but just do it. It'll be great. And you look over and you go, hey, you ever have, maybe ever kids, Uriah's starting to do it now. Elijah's, he's just wicked at this point. He turned 2 a little bit ago. He's just terrible. But you ever see him, right? They look over at you wondering if what they are about to do is good or bad. Right? They make the look and they kind of reach over and your answer tells them if it's good or bad. Right? So why are they looking at you? They acknowledged you. They know you're going to tell them yes or no on what they're about to do. You know what God just wants sometimes? You to look over at him as you're reaching over and say, am I going to be good if I do this or are we in trouble? And the Lord says, yeah, go ahead. I knew I was supposed to do it, but I better double check. That's never, by the way, double checking with God on if you're doing the right thing, he's probably not going to be upset about that. He just isn't. Acknowledge it, Lord, I'm just making sure. Did he get mad at the fleece and then the fleece? I'd have gotten mad. I'd have been annoyed after the second fleece. But he isn't. He just, yeah, that's what I want. Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah, it's what I, just do it already. Just do it. That's when he, you know. Me, I'd have gotten to, yeah, that's what I want. Second time, I'm going to hurt you, right? I'd have already gone. Mercy and truth is hard at that particular moment right there. I'd have been, truth, do it. And here we are, and all the Lord wants is just a little. Sometimes it's just a glance to see, am I doing the right thing? Am I on the right course? Am I doing the right thing? Are we on the right path? Amen. So I can get the blessings so that he can direct thy path. He wants to direct it. But if you're not looking at him, you know, Brother Andrew is up here, and I've done this an awful lot myself now, and, you know, what is the guy? He's supposed to be the music director. So what are we doing? We call him a song leader, right? We're kind of informal a little bit, but he's the director. He's the conductor. He's the guy. What's he doing? He's supposed to be directing, and his arm movements more than my arm movements, because my arm movements are just a little off sometimes. Thank you for being gracious on that, Andrew. Just a little off. They indicate things. That's what we're trying to teach. We're trying to do those things with some of the guys who are interested in that. Those movements are supposed to indicate certain things so that you know when to come in, sing together, work together. The musicians know when to come in and sing together and play together. And everybody's working together because one person is directing, right? That's the idea. And here's God, and you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to direct you. If you don't watch him, you know what to do. Brother Andrew gave me this wonderful tip a long time ago, and I think it was him. If it wasn't, he gets credit anyways. And it's when you're going to do something odd, you want all the musicians to know especially. If I'm going to hold something that we haven't been holding, or I'm going to do something we haven't been doing, move in a way that they have to look up. You know, so you'll see him, and Brother Andrew does it. I watch him. I like to watch him just because I get little tips and tricks for when I'm doing it, you know. And he'll come back. He'll step up on the thing. He'll try and do something so that they know they need to look up, because he's going to change and hold something or do something. Or say, what's he trying to do? He's trying to get them to acknowledge him so that he can direct them, so that you don't get out of step and you don't look out of sync and you don't look into disunity. Say, what's God trying to do? Just keep things in unity. If we don't acknowledge him, you know what we won't have? Unity. He's working and he's moving and he's trying to direct everything and put it all nice and in motion. And we keep looking down at ourselves going, what do I want to do? And he's like, I don't care what you want to do. I want you to follow my arm move. I want you to follow my directions so that I can go ahead and bless you. And I'll tell you, it is a blessing. I love leading at Youth Ablaze. It's a whole lot of fun. I lose my voice. I destroy it. It's demolished by the time we're done. I'm singing super loud for no apparent reason because I got my mic jacked to the moon, you know, so I don't really have to, but I can't help it. I'm excited, you know, we're singing. And that moment, I love doing it as well with my soul and doing that big hold, and you know how I do it, and that stoppage. And when everybody does that, it is awesome. Like, it is just, I feel it, I love it, and I think it's just great. And the first time I did it, at Youth Ablaze especially, first time I did it, there's this guy on the front row. I don't know his name. I don't want to know his name. Why? Because I may look him up and injure him in some way. But we're there, and the whole purpose of that pause is because it lets everybody calm. And you can just feel, I mean, it just rushes in. And it's all about the Lord. It's all just like, and then it is well with my soul finishes. And I'm, boom, and it's down to zero. And I'm holding it on purpose. And I hear, hangman, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, you did not get what I was trying to do, sir. Shut up. No, I didn't say it. I wanted to. That was in my head. Be quiet. Hold your peace. Amen. That's the Bible way to say it. Hold your peace. That's what I wanted. And I back up and I'm like, all right. And praise the Lord. Chad's like, do it again, you know. So I do it again. And this guy still can't hold his peace. He can't. It's like he just can't figure it out. I don't know what is wrong with him. And I'm thinking, could you just watch me just sit there? Be quiet. Just do what you say. Why? It wasn't you. It wasn't you. You know better. You're better than that. You're better than that. And, right? what's happening? He doesn't understand the unity. That moment's not about him, and it's not about yelling, and it's not about, that's not what we're trying. We're trying to just calm that room down so everybody can focus on what God has done, and he's coming, and it's triumphant. He's going to come back. He's going to take us home, and because he's taken us home, that quiet is just that peace. Just for a moment. Even when all the storms of the world are going on. Doesn't matter, because it is well with my soul. And when that happens in a room full of 900 people or whatever we had, that is unbelievably cool. But only if the directions are followed. You know what's wonderful? When God directs our paths and we're all in unison and the church is working everything together and everything's walking in the same direction, the Lord's doing all, and we just acknowledge Him. All the benefits. Pretty good. Pretty good. Then he says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Verse 7, fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know it here. I'll say it again. That is not a reverential trust of God. So how do you know that? What makes you afraid of going toward evil? The fact that he's going to beat you with a stick for going toward evil. Because he's the one who judges. And he's the one who's the judge of all the earth. And a good father chastens his children. You get that in the last part of the passage we're going to do here. He's going to chasten when we get out of line. When you want to go toward evil, you know what he does? He says, okay, you want to go toward evil? Whack, don't go that direction. A good father, a good parent, you know what they'll do? Whack, stop going that direction. We'll correct the child. We'll remove the idea that they can go ahead and do whatever it is they want. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't think that you're smarter than God. Fear the Lord. Instead, you say, what's the problem? The problem is you're proud and you think that you're wise and you think you know what you're supposed to do and you think you know the way you're supposed to go and you think you've got everything all figured out, and the Lord says, no, you don't. But because you won't acknowledge Him, you don't fear Him. There it is. They have no fear of God. Why? Because they're so proud they think they don't need Him. Why don't we acknowledge Him? I don't really need Him right now. I'm not in trouble. I mean, why would I have to call upon Him? Why do I have to? I know what to do. I'm smart enough. I've got it all figured out. I've been doing this life for a while. I mean, I've been saved for the last 30 years. I can just do whatever I want. I know. I know what's right and what's wrong, and so I can just assess the situation. I'll take care of it. I don't have to ask God's advice. I'd never say that. I know you wouldn't say that, but you live it. Don't we do that sometimes? Am I the only one who's been saved for 30 years that goes, I know what I'm doing, got all under control. And then all of a sudden I look back and I go, I did not do something right there. I don't know what I did. I'm not exactly sure, but I know that it was my idea instead of His idea. Now I got to figure out which one I did that was my idea. I've been there. And I go, oh, I didn't even ask. I didn't acknowledge. I didn't even look. I just kind of did. And now here I am, and I don't like where I am, and I don't like what's happening, and it seems like I made a bad choice somewhere. So what did I do so that I can go ahead and correct it? Because I didn't acknowledge Him. I didn't fear that, you know, I could make the wrong decision. Back there in Numbers, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram come up against Moses. And he says, think it a small thing, you sons of Levi, that you stand before all the people and open the books before all the people. It's kind of one of those, you really think it's just you can do whatever you want to up there and you can kind of go ahead and it's not really a big deal and anybody can do it and anybody can get up and preach and anybody can get up and teach and anybody can get up and it's not really anything, you know, it's no big deal. That's kind of the question, right? And then the answer is really the question right here is, hey, do you think it's really a small thing to follow the Lord and fear Him? See, it's a fearful thing to stand up because you're ultimately standing to speak in the place of God at that particular moment. Not that I'm God, but that my job is to give the message that God gave to me to give to you, to deliver what God asked me to give. And so is that a small thing? Well, is it a small thing that you walk with him and talk with him and deal with him and let him direct you, let him lead him, let him guide, let him do? Well, it's not a small thing. It's a wonderful thing. I don't remember where I heard it. There's a lot of religions in the world and all these things, and I'm trying to remember what the other... He was a Chinese man. I remember that. And he was given the New Testament of the Bible. He was given to read. And he'd read all the books, you know, and all. He'd read the Quran, and he'd read, you know, all the Buddhist stuff, and he read it all. And he was handed a Bible. And his statement, he read the whole thing. And the man asked him that gave it to him, he said, the Christian man, he said, so what's the thing that impressed you the most about that book? He said, what impresses me the most, and they thought he's going to talk about the virgin birth, he's going to talk about the resurrection, he's going to talk about, you know, something like, he goes, is that you believe that God lives inside of you. That's Colossians. That's Ephesians. Amen. That God lives inside of you. That is the most incredible thing I have ever read. And if that is true, you have the best thing you could ever have. A lost Chinese man. Say, what's the problem? The problem is we don't think about him being in here, so we don't think we have to fear him. He knows everything we do. He knows everything we think. He knows everything we say. He knows every place we go. And the sad reality is he's privy to all of it because he's right there with you. Amen. It is an awesome, an absolutely awesome privilege to have the God of the universe indwell us. But it is also a very fearful thing to understand that he is right there with you every moment of every day. If that doesn't scare you a little bit, you might want to check if you understand what in the world that is. The good fear of the Lord will help you to depart from evil, in case you're wondering. And it'll be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Verse number 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord, to give respect to go ahead and show an honor, a respect, a desire to go ahead and worship. And here he shows that by the first fruits of all thine increase, giving, what we give. You know, oftentimes we talk about money and different things with all this stuff, and I understand that. We gave a lot to Brother Spurgeon. That was a huge offering. You're a giving church. I don't need to talk about giving a whole lot here. We give, and we understand that give, and it shall be given unto you. The Lord takes care of us. You can trust, not only trust the Lord with all trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You can trust Him with your money. You can trust Him with your time. You can trust Him with your talent. We talk about it all the time. You can give, you can do. I'm not going to beat on it real hard. You know about it. We give here, and I love that we do, and it makes it possible for us to support missions, and it makes it possible for us to do what we do. And sometimes, though, we don't think about giving time and giving our talents and giving all the extras. Some people are very contented at I'll give him 20 bucks as long as I don't have to do anything. That's not at all it. It's all of it. Our time is, the world understands that wonderful phrase, time is money. What we dedicate our time to is worth something to us. It's worth it to us to go ahead and do or give or have or take time to do these things. It's what we have. Our time is limited. This past week, a whole bunch of people gave a whole lot of time. That was a lot of time. That was time, and more time. here at the church, trying to get things organized, trying to keep things organized. A bunch of you were planning stuff at your house. You were doing studying at your house for the lesson times. You were working on different projects. You were helping your kids get costumes and clothes and changes and this. And we're piling up time. You say, what is that? The Lord just loving that you'd give him your time and your talents and your ability. Some of you are just absolutely crafty. I am not crafty. I don't like crafts. I saw some of the cool stuff they did for craft. I loved it. I was like, man, that's cool. I wish I'd have done some crafts, but I didn't. I stayed away. I did my thing. But the crafts, the games, they came up with cool games. They were doing all sorts of stuff, the openings, all the things. Everybody was just, you say, what are they doing? Just using their talents. Just, what can I do? How can I help? How can I do things? How can I make things work? I'm not really great at everything, but I can at least look over a room full of kids and make sure nobody's killing anybody else, all right? That's a talent right there sometimes, especially with some of our kids in this church. Love them dearly, but, whew, man, I know my kids are violent, so just how it is. And just being able to watch and to keep an eye on things and make sure things are running smooth and just corralling a herd of kids across the parking lot to get them over to games and do all these, so what people do, just giving their time. Say, oh, well, I mean, does that really do anything? Well, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I say, what do you do? You give of your stuff, and you give of your substance, and your money, and your time, and your talents, and your ability to be able to do those things. You give that stuff, you know what the Lord says? I'll just bless you for it. I'll take care of you. He knows how to take care. He knows what you need. And maybe it's not money. Maybe you don't need money. Maybe you need some things to go easy so that you can have more time for something else. You ever do a job and you're working on a job and you're like, boy, that was the easiest thing I have ever done. And the Lord goes, I know. You're welcome. I've been there. You're welcome, because I need you to do this. You needed more time for these other things. And you know it. And the Lord just blesses. That's what he does. And then he says in verse number 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Don't get upset when God has to chasten you. Don't get upset about it. Some people get awfully mad at God that he would ever bring any correction into their life. You know what God's doing? He's doing course corrections. That's all. Amen. If you're moving forward and you're moving, but you get a little out of course, you know what he does? He just bumps your boat over. That's all he's doing. Just bump the boat. Say to do what? Just to put you back in the lane you need to be in. Go in the right direction so you don't get off course too far. Just trying to keep you in the window, so that you're still heading in the right direction. Because God forbid that you go ahead and turn that wheel and you don't ever turn it back. And you turn all the way around and go back the way you used to go. Say, what's he doing? Just course correcting. Just chasing. Just a little tap here and there. Just to make sure, that his child stays going the direction they're supposed to go. Isn't that nice? I get more worried if the Lord is not correcting in somebody's life than if he is correcting. Why is that? Because if he's not correcting, that means either you're not his kid or he's done let you go. And he's going to let you reap all the things that you've decided to do. That may be one of the scariest answers in the entirety of the scriptures. Is where God says, you know what I'll do? I'll go ahead and I'll let you do that. I'll let you do that, but the heavens are brass. Leanness is coming. And you're going to have to reap all the consequences of what you're about to do. You'll pay the fare thereof like Jonah did. And you can go down and down and down and down until you're in the belly of a whale. And now you got to deal with God. You know, sometimes his chastening is just simply, I'll let you go your own way for a while until you figure out how terrible you're making your own life. I don't like talking about chastening. But boy, do we need it a lot of times. Isn't it nice when the chastening is simply a word fitly spoken? A message you hear, a comment, a hymn, an illustration somebody gives, something like that. It's nice when the Lord goes, hey, I'll correct you by just telling you you're wrong. Hey, you're doing that wrong. Hey, this is how you do it right. Isn't that nice when he does that one and he doesn't have to do anything more? He's by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And a lot of times he's very merciful and he just says, hey, you're just doing that wrong. If you're willing to fix it, I'm willing to forgive it and we can just move on. Whew. So what is that? That's part of the chastening of the Lord. But if you keep going and you don't follow his commandments, you know what you'll be? You'll be in a whole lot more trouble. You'll start losing out on those blessings and you'll start getting the harder of the chastening. He wants to bless us. He wants to take care of us. You know what he wants to do? He wants to delight in us. He wants the relationship and he wants to give us everything. Didn't he come to give you life and to give it more abundantly? I think that sounds like a blessed life to me. I think that's a life filled with the blessings that God could possibly give. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get us to see God's interests are better than my interests. God's ways are better than my ways. God's thoughts better than mine. The excuse, though, is, well, I mean, he's God. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what he wants. How am I supposed to know? Well, you were given the mind of Christ. Amen. God's not trying to hide his blessings from you. God's not sitting there going, well, you know, I'm just going to keep all these things back. And maybe, just maybe, if they're extra good. No, he just wants you to walk with him. He just goes, I can bless these things and I can't bless those things and you choose. And if you choose the blessings, guess what? I'll give them to you. I'll just start. But if you don't want to, you can go whatever direction you like. I've said it plenty of times before. I'm going to say it one more time. God loves to set out the set of rules and goes, this is what I can bless and this is what I can't. You just choose. I'm not going to make you do it. I'm not going to make you live clean. I'm not going to make you live right. I'm not going to make you walk in my ways. I'm not going to make you do it. He's not going to force you. He's not a Calvinist. He's not going to force you to live right and do right and be a witness and read and pray and all the things we know we're supposed to. He's not going to make you do it. He just goes, this is what I bless, this is what I don't bless. You go ahead and choose sides. Just you choose. But know this. Know this. At the end of the day, he's got it all marked out. At the end of the day, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every idle work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Everything we do, he'll be the judge. He'll get it all straight. But boy, if you want his blessings, especially if you want his blessings in this life, he gave you the formula right here. It's just walk right down the passage. You know what you find? Blessing, every one of them, blessings that I think everybody in this room would want. And if you want them, there it is. That's how you get them. Ultimately, it's, are you going to walk with him? Are you going to do it his way? Or not? Let's go ahead and stand. I don't know of anybody in here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, but if you are, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. We preached on it all week for the kids. I'm going to mention it again tonight. Mentioned it this morning. Jesus Christ can save to the uttermost. He wants to save you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not 100% sure that heaven is yours, you can know. The Bible makes it very plain. You can know that you have eternal life because of Jesus Christ and what he did for you. And if you'd call upon him, he'd forgive you. Christian, I hope you're living a blessed life. I hope God's blessings are poured out. And I know that that's not a life without trouble. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Paul had trouble. Timothy had trouble. All the apostles had trouble. Jesus Christ had trouble. Can't think of somebody doing more right than Jesus. And he had trouble. We'll have troubles. We'll have problems. That's not what that passage is talking about. But boy, if you'd like the blessings of God in your life, maybe you're doing some things that won't get you the blessings. And you know it. Maybe you need to ask God, hey, forgive me so I can have the blessings. Give me wisdom so I can have the blessings. Because I'd really like these things. Father, I do pray you would bless the invitation now. Help us, Lord, to gain as much as we can, Lord, in this life from you. Help us to walk with you. Help us to grow. Help us to learn. Help us to understand. But Father, most of all, I pray we'd have a great walk and a great fellowship with our God. And Lord, the abundance of the blessings that you offer are easy for us to have if we just acknowledge and walk in your ways. Father, once again, I do pray you'd bless the invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.